Hi there, I am Bea Bonner, and you're listening to Community Voices right here on NPR Illinois. Today, I'm talking to Mary Alio, Director of SIU School of Medicine's Standardized Patient Program. How about you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I have been at the school for over 33 years. I'm not a native of Springfield. I'm from the Chicago area. My background is in biology. I have my master's in biology, and I have been in the Office of Education and Curriculum for the past 22 years. And I've been the director of the program for 20 of those 22 years. So I've seen a lot of changes.
So can you start off by giving us a little bit of background about the program and why it was started?
The official program was started around 1981. One of the pioneers in using simulated standardized patients is Howard Barrows, and he started using simulated standardized patients in 1963 at the University of California or Southern California. Then he went to a new school, McMaster's in Canada, and did some education there. So he was using simulated standardized patients there, or simulation, as well as problem-based learning for teaching medical students. So we were fortunate enough to have him come in 1981, and he designed probably one of the first simulation centers in the nation. Now, I would say the majority of medical schools have their own simulation center, and we are fortunate. Memorial Medical Center also built a simulation center. I don't know if you're familiar with it. It's Memorial Center for Learning and Innovation, or the MCLI, and they have a state-of-the-art simulation center on their third floor. So we still operate out of that simulation center that Dr. Barrows designed. I've been doing educational or workshops for standardized patient educators like myself for years, for 20 years, and we always show our simulation center. Well, now, you know, before it used to be, wow, that's really neat. Now it's sort of a relic. I really like the way that it's set up. It's what I know, and I know how to use it, but it, you know, it can be more of a museum relic, I guess, than what is out there these days. But I feel really fortunate to have had this opportunity to work here.
Now, can we talk a little bit more about how you feel being, and like you said, that little piece of history? How does it feel to be able to teach out of there and really just, you know, get the real essence of the program?
I really feel blessed. I am very fortunate to be working in this. There is so much variety in my job. I get to meet and learn about so many people and their background, and then also with the medical students. In our simulated standardized patients, we hire them. They're anywhere from the age of 16, and our oldest one was 93 until she recently passed, and she was with it. And she started being a simulated patient when she retired. So she worked with us for almost 25 years post retirement. You really learn about this. And watching our standardized patients simulate and interact with the medical students or the learners, I feel like a proud parent when things go well. Even when they're doing breaking bad news cases or cases that have some communication barriers, I'm usually feeling very proud of the work that our simulated standardized patients do.
So what types of scenarios do you all give actors?
You know, that's an interesting question. Our faculty choose the cases, and we do cases, I guess, could be very simple. It could be the a chest pain case. It could be an abdominal pain case. It could be a case with a fever. We'll do cases with pediatric cases, adolescent cases. We do a few trauma cases, but our professional development lab is not set up to do emergency. But we'll try to do a few of those. And in the past, we've done some surgical ones. And we do a lot on communication and interpersonal skills. So those cases with communication barriers, like breaking bad news, maybe having a different language, you know, English is a second language or not a second language. We'll do cases on abuse, whether that be intimate partner violence, elder abuse, child abuse. Abuse, substance abuse. So we really do the whole gamut of cases. It's important that students have those types of cases so that they're able to think on their feet and manage the patient appropriately in a safe environment.
This sounds very hands-on. How has COVID-19 affected what you've all been able to do?
Well, I'll let you know that initially, when it first started, we were doing one of our major clinical competency exams for our third year medical students. This is an exam. They do 14 cases over a 2-day period, and they take this case at the end of their clinical rotations. Well, we were in the last week of those cases, and we had to shut it down. And so I would say for probably about 6 weeks, we were paralyzed, or I was paralyzed. I didn't know what to do. You know, we went by the director or the leadership of our dean. And so we didn't do any simulation options. However, the curriculum was still running as it was, and we do simulations for second and third year medical students primarily here in Springfield. And so we started up doing virtual cases with avatars for the major cases for the second year medical students. And then they do little short cases that are called OSCEs, and those are objective structured clinical exams. And so they do a little something, a little task that takes less than 10 minutes. So it could be like a little interview or something to that effect. So we did those using WebEx, because that's what our school is using. And that was interesting because a lot of our people weren't on site, but we brought people in, and it was really, we just had to add extra time to prepare everything, but we got it done. So we were taking baby steps. If you go back to those students that were taking the CCX exam at the end, we decided that we were going to do that exam virtually. And so we had to be very careful. The hardest part was the physical exam, because they would do they'd take a history and then perform a physical exam. And so that was very different to do. And so what I did, I tried to get my most experienced standardized patients to do that part of it so that they could follow the instructions of the student or the learner on what they were doing for the physical exam. And then the standardized patient would give the appropriate responses. The challenge with that was the exam between the hours of 10 and 2, a lot of people were using WebEx. And so the picture would go out. There might be a little bit of a delay, but really the pictures were going out. And so when you're doing exams and there's an element of communication is on there, it's very, very difficult. So we have managed that. Since then, as a matter of fact, today, we are now doing most of our simulations live. We are using all kinds of protections. Our SPs are wearing eye protection, medical grade masks. Can't wear your cloth ones. You have to wear the medical grade ones. Our learners are doing the same. They're wearing eye protection as well as the medical grade masks. And we're also doing social distancing in the room as much as possible. And I am sterilizing everything.
So this sort of reminded me of like the rise of telehealth right now. I've seen a lot of people having appointments with their doctors actually by Zoom or some other video platform. Do you think COVID-19 has really trained these future doctors to go into this element of the world?
They are. And one of the things that we've noticed in the curriculum, because I'm also really involved with the curriculum, is that we need to give them special training on doing cases via telehealth or telemedicine. And so next week, as a matter of fact, we are going to train a cohort of SPs or standardized patients on how to do a telehealth visit with one of their teaching cases. And so the students have been given materials on tips for doing telemedicine, you know, with your background, how you're looking at people, make sure you're, you know, just little tips on how to do telemedicine.
Do you see this being the new norm in the medical field?
I don't think anything can replace the one-to-one interaction. And, you know, because of the COVID, we have no choice. We have to do this. I am longing for the days to come back for the one-to-one contact. I think you miss some communication elements when you do it through telemedicine. It seems a little cold to me. And particularly when there's, you know, if you have a sensitive issue or a case that has some confidentiality that needs to be discussed, for some people, that's going to be really difficult to feel a connection with their patient through the screens. And, some people are really suspicious of the internet. And, you know, how am I ensured that this won't show up on social media? Is there a promise of that?
What can you say to people to kind of calm some of those fears?
You know, I think everybody does, the clinicians and the healthcare providers, I think they do, and our faculty are doing a really good job forcing HIPAA and stressing confidentiality. And, you know, we're always reminding our students too of HIPAA. Let's not talk about people. For people that end up getting COVID, for instance, we do not say who those people are. We just know that there's somebody that is COVID positive, and we maintain their privacy in regard to that, as we should.
And then switching gears, how do you think this program has transformed the lives of future medical professionals?
Oh, I think for our students here, I think it has made them more confident interacting with people. And I think it's helped them to relax interacting with people and knowing how to manage their visits with their patients. So if you think of your own healthcare and you have a healthcare provider who you really don't like, what do? You find somebody else. And you usually, and I mean, my guess is you don't tell the person that you left why you left. And so our standardized patients are giving our medical students or the learners that feedback. One of the things that we'll do is the students will have a clipboard, and I'm pulling up a folder, and they use it to take notes. Well, sometimes it's their security blanket, and they start putting it in front of their face. And so that diminishes the eye contact, or they don't know what to ask next. And so there's long pauses. And so the patient, our simulated standardized patient, will give feedback saying, I didn't know what to do with those long pauses. I felt awkward. Or when you held up your clipboard in front of me, I couldn't see your face. And, you know, I felt alienated. I felt alone. So it's that type of feedback that we give to our learners. And other things, you know, positive things as well. It's not necessarily constructive criticism, but it's positive things. When you put your hand on my knee, when I was telling you, a sad part of my history, I felt comforted. So it's that type of feedback so that we're reinforcing good, positive things and then providing help or constructive criticism for things that need improvement.
And in the same way, how do you think this has transformed the lives of standardized patients? And what type of training do they go through to be able to display these cases?
This is really, this is an interesting question. A number of years ago, I did a little study of our simulated standardized patients and their motivation to be a simulated standardized patient. And most of them, the number one reason was that they wanted to help. They wanted to help the medical student or the learner to improve. They wanted to be, an assistance to that. And then later on, and that they just felt happy and proud that they could help in some way to make them a better learner. So that's a good motivation. Being a simulated standardized patient has also empowered them in terms of their own healthcare. They've learned a little bit about medicine. They've learned about how their healthcare providers should be treating them or what their expectations should be from their healthcare provider. And again, empowerment, maybe not only for themselves, but maybe for their parents. I grew up in an era where you didn't question a healthcare provider. You know, they were smart. They knew everything that, how dare I even think about questioning them when really they're just like you and I. They don't know everything. You can ask questions. One of the things that we do is, as I mentioned earlier, our faculty will choose the cases. And so we'll get the scenarios regarding the cases. And we prepare some notes or the scenario for our simulated standardized patients. We don't prepare a script because our medical student can come in and ask questions in any order. So we prepare our standardized patients to become that person. And so it's the scenario. We tell them how long they've had the symptoms, what the symptoms are, how long they've had it, have they ever had it before, what makes the symptoms better, what makes it worse. And then we give a little social background. If there's any physical pain, we'll show them where it is and then how they're supposed to respond during the physical exam, if there's any type of a maneuver or movement made to that area. And then sometimes there's a content checklist that faculty are looking for to see if the students ask those questions. So the standardized patients will fill those out after the scenario. So that usually happens 7 to 10 days prior to the event. So we'll say about an hour and a half, they'll spend preparing for the case as a group. So many of our cases will have multiple SPs do the same case at the same time. So it's really important to have them all at the training or preparation meeting together so that they hear the information the same way. And we want to try to standardize it too, because we don't want a student to be at an advantage or disadvantage by seeing standardized patient number one or standardized patient number five. So we will do some little exercises to standardize them. If this is an assessment case or a new case, we'll do what is called a dry run, or it's a dress rehearsal of the case. And it's, again, another attempt to standardize the case. We'll have one standardized patient who we think will do the case the way we want it. They'll do it first, and all their peers will watch them do the case, because we'll say, do it their way, the way that they're simulating it. And then we fill out the documents together and do a comparison so that we can try to get them all to be together as they fill out their feedback and their rating scales. So that if we do a dry run, we'll do the preparation 7 to 10 days prior to the dry run, and then do the dry run 7 to 10 days prior to the event. And so that will happen. That's pretty standard.
That sounds like a lot of preparation, and I think that's really good. What is the most interesting case someone has gotten, in your opinion?
Oh, what, there are so many interesting cases. I think the most, I can tell you that we do simulations for doctors as well, or for residents. Residents are doctors sort of in training. They're medical doctors and they're in training. It's like they're doing an apprenticeship for their career. The SIU's residency program for emergency medicine, they have a curriculum that's called The Art of Medicine, and they do a number of very interesting scenarios that they'll see in the emergency department. And I don't want to give away any of the secrets, but they have had some really good ones. The other ones that I've seen that have been really good is, as I mentioned earlier, I do an annual five-day workshop for standardized patient educators like myself, and they're usually from across the country that will attend this, and they develop cases, and they have really developed some really good cases. For example, we've had cases where it's a father-son, and the son has brought in his father into the clinic because he's been combative and really confused. Well, it comes down to that he has had he's showing signs of early dementia. And so one of the things that he'll do, the healthcare provider comes in, he'll throw things at them. Like towels, not instruments or anything. We had another case where a woman comes in and she's not feeling very well and she's feeling sick to her stomach. And it turns out that she's recently homeless. She's living in her car with her daughter, and she does not have enough money to pay for her diabetes medication. And so the medical learner has to discover that, and then they work on a plan and some strategies on how she can be in a better situation. So those are, but we have so many interesting cases, and because of our curriculum, I don't want to divulge some of the topics.
That sounds really interesting and a great learning experience. So to me, this sounds perfect for people in Springfield to get involved. So if they want to find out more, or if they want to become a standardized patient, how would they be able to do that?
Well, they can do one of two ways. We are always looking for people to be simulated standardized patients, always. And I think our toughest age group is between the ages of 25 and 45. So we're always looking for it. Most of our simulations will occur Monday through Friday, 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock, but we have mornings and evenings and some weekends. If they want to get a hold of us or want more information, they can call us at area code 217-545-5588. Or they can go to our website, and there's a casting sheet if they want to fill that out. That's the first step in becoming a simulated standardized patient, and they can do that at this website, siumed.edu/OEC/SP. S as in Sam, P as in Paul.
Is there anything you'd like to add?
I would. The one thing that I would like to, or I have two things. You get paid to be a simulated standardized patient. And so you will be paid for your training. You'll be paid for any of the dry runs we do. And of course, you'll be paid for any of this for your simulation time. If you do a simulation that's over 6 hours or over, we provide a light meal for you. The other thing that I would like to end with is, it's fun to be somebody else for a day. And so it's very common for particularly our new standardized patients to say, to tell me at the end of the day how nervous they were about being a simulated standardized patient. But that was so much fun. When can I do it again?